There's this setup that we have, and we've enshrined it in our culture just because it's really helpful to us. We've got this thing called Thanksgiving, right? We get together and we focus on what we appreciate, what's wonderful, and that helps us. And then that gets us ready for Christmas. And in Christmas, we have that deeper heart. Now, we start to open the heart with Thanksgiving. Okay, but then it gets deeper as we really focus on all the people and things around us and giving and creating and sharing this beautiful experience, touching in on some of the magnificent power within the Christmas story, but also, you know, that amazing goodness and abundance that is Santa Claus. And we go deeper into the heart, and then we're ready to say, okay, now that I've really opened my heart, now that I'm really in touch, it's time to bring forth that next level of my creation. Step into the next part of my soul plan. And that's why we do New Year's. You thought it was just because the year was beginning. It's just another day, folks. But we do that because it lets us say yes to this which is being born by that greater love energy. So, if you're going to say yes, if you're going to call for something greater, you've got to let go of something. You know, it's the law of your closet. Okay, we're going to bring something else in, you got to let go of something. Works for bookcases as well. Works for lives, right? Okay, so we got to bring something in. So, we got to let go. And that's one of the reasons we do the burning bowl. So, we're going to be letting go of stuff. Now, letting go, there's a number of different ways to look at it. I've always had a real affection for a fairly third-dimensional teacher, but I liked his way of letting go. Paul Simon, he wrote it as 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover. Okay. Just slip out the back, Jack. Make a new plan, Sam. You don't need to be coy, Roy. Just get yourself free. Hop on the bus, Gus. You don't need to discuss much. Just drop off the key, Lee, and get yourself free.
Amen. Amen.
Don't you wish it worked that way? You see, in this third dimensional experience, we actually think, if you get yourself separate, you get some distance, you're free. It looks that way, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But there's this spiritual stuff. Wherever I show up, there I am. Yeah, so my consciousness keeps drawing whatever it is that I'm working on. And I may get a new key. But I keep running into that same old consciousness. Until I learn to let go. So we're going to do a little bit on letting go today. Because it is not third dimensional. I am a spiritual being living in a spiritual world governed by spiritual law. That's the truth. Join me.
I am a spiritual being living in a spiritual world governed by spiritual law.
That's the way our creation really happens. Once again,
I'm a spiritual being living in a spiritual world governed by spiritual law.
And that says I can play whatever game I want in the outer, but the change happens in here. So, I want to go to my teacher, because I go to his wisdom, and I'm just amazed at how it unfolds over time. But this is a story from Jesus of a man who was born blind, and in it he addresses a number of these processes and the experience in terms of letting go. So, begins as Jesus went along, He saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Okay, now, so we've got a question coming up, and it's the disciples are that part of us that are seeking to grow and understand. And so they're looking at this, and they understand and really give expression here to something that's taking place within Jewish law at this time. Okay, there was a real question in terms of karma and reincarnation were being examined. And some of you know that I've shared the understanding as a possibility that Jesus was educated by the Essenes in the early part of his education, which meant they embraced the idea of reincarnation. So they would have seen karma, or essentially past patterns is what manifests. So when they're asking about, you know, this man who was born blind, is that baby's born, that who sinned, essentially they're saying, is this past karma that we're looking at? Or is it his parents? Have they done something wrong? Because in the law at that time, the understanding was if you were in alignment with God, you followed the rules, you were what is called righteous. Okay, then your life would be in harmony. You would have money, you would have health, all of those things. And if you had a problem, it was because you were out of connection with God. Okay, so you were violating some of the rules that, as it was understood within that tradition. And so they're looking and saying, what's going on here? It's a legitimate question. And Jesus' response is, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Okay, that's a little different response, isn't it? This happened so that the works of God might be displayed. Now what? You know, there's an interpretation of this that says these folks had to go through those all those years just so Jesus could show off. I don't buy that one. My belief on what he's saying is that these souls undertook to deal with this so that that transformative power of the divine within them could be called forth. Not him, them. He never says, "I healed you." Not any place along there. He always says, "Your faith has made you well." Okay? So within them, this pattern. So what he is that invitation to awaken to that greater pattern, the pattern of wholeness within the being. He goes on and he talks about that. As long as it is day, you must do the works of him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. So he's talking about two states of consciousness. Day, which is when we are awake, we are illumined. We consciously are aware of this spiritual dynamic, the spiritual world governed by spiritual law, aware of ourselves as spiritual being. And there's night when it is dark. We are unaware. Now he's saying, as I understand it, when we are aware, then the work happens. Then we learn and grow from these experiences. We grow as spiritual beings. When we aren't aware, it's night. The work doesn't happen. We just keep going through it. You know? Sneak out the back, Jack. You'll be back. Yeah, we just keep going through it. Okay? So that's that view within here. And then he does one more. He says, now, saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with his saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he said, "and wash in the pool of Siloam." So the man went and washed and came home seeing. Now, the understanding there is that so he's demonstrating we are here, that this third dimension. The mud is a part of life experience. It is our interaction with that that's a part of that. But it's interacting with this Christ self, with this greater spiritual self within us. And that gives us sight. We're able to see then, to perceive spiritually what's around us. Now, I want to share this in terms of a contemporary experience. And this is an experience of a teacher. Some of you have read it. We've touched on it because we work with some of her materials. But one of the gifts of this particular experience is that this woman, as she grew from this experience, became very conscious and aware. So she's able to look back and see what took place for her and describe it with her spiritual understanding. Okay, so her name is Edwene Gaines, and this is the experience when basically young woman, teacher, went to Guam, met a wonderful man there. They married. At the end of their time, they had this trip around the world. So they're traveling. She's 6 months pregnant. They're in Hong Kong, go out and have a wonderful breakfast, a morning. She rests. He comes back in and says, "I don't love you anymore. I'm leaving," and walks out the door. And he took quite a bit of the money, too. And so she's abandoned there, 6 months pregnant in Hong Kong. Now, this was fairly early in her spiritual journey. Her response was anger and hatred. With a lot of energy to it. Okay. And honestly, who could blame her?
Me.
What could understand? Isn't that true? I mean, did somebody that happen to you? Okay. Now bring us up, because we probably had a thing or two happen that way. You know, and some of us, we've been a little more creative than that. You know, and found even better ways to blame it on somebody else out there. So what happened for Edwene was she did have her anger and hatred and resentment. And it created in her cancer. And her physician came to the point where he could say, "That's it. You know, there's nothing we can do. Write your will." And the person that she was working with in terms of her spiritual understanding said, "You got a choice. Forgive or die." That's called motivation. Okay? So she got working on forgiveness. Now, she didn't particularly know how to do it. It was difficult. And she really had to work at it over a period of time. But the more she worked into the forgiveness, the more the cancer disappeared. Until at the end, she shares her understanding of this. She says about the experience in the hotel in Hong Kong where the husband left. She says, "At that time, what he did to me seemed like one of the worst things that anyone has ever done to me. But today, I am so thankful for what happened in that hotel room in Hong Kong. Without it, I might never have learned the life-transforming power of true forgiveness." So we can look with those third-dimensional eyes and see an abandoned woman. Or we can wake up and look with spiritual eyes and see a spiritual being who has said yes to learning the need and the power of forgiveness so that she can experience her own wholeness and share it with others. There's no victim in that. And she has shared the experience of forgiveness and supported others in that experience. I was because I have known Edwin for some 35 years, so I was thinking she's probably helped tens of thousands of people reach for forgiveness, but it may be 100,000. Yeah. Okay. And how did she know when she accomplished it? I am so thankful for what happened. Appreciation is how we take the learning that the soul has gained and we anchor it in our beings. So we retain the learning and we free ourselves of the event. We retain the learning and free ourselves. That's how you get free. That is the experience of a spiritual being living in a spiritual world governed by spiritual law, fulfilling, as each one of us has, the learning that the soul seeks through the challenges that are in our world. And we all got a couple.
Amen.
Because most souls I met are pretty busy. Because that's why they came here. You are a spiritual being living in a spiritual world governed by spiritual law. And there is a law. And the law is love fulfills the law. Back to what Jesus was looking at. Any karma going on there? It says the only thing here is love is seeking to fulfill the law. That was the law he was talking about. Love is seeking to fulfill the law. That is the experience of grace itself. So, now, some of these things you've been working on probably as long as Edwin. You don't need to mention those. You just keep quiet. That's okay. Some of them had just come up this last year because you were ready for those to come up now. Okay, but there are many, many things in our lives that no longer serve us that we're ready to let go because we're ready to step into that next beautiful expression of the divine beings that we each are. We do that letting go. I appreciate the wisdom that I have gained. I appreciate the wisdom that I have gained, because you have. You have gained much. Together. I appreciate the wisdom that I have gained. That beautiful, powerful wisdom within your being. Again. I appreciate the wisdom I have gained. Yes. Receive it. Hold it. You are a conscious spiritual being. You have learned. You are wise. Once again, I appreciate the wisdom I have gained. Beings of light. Light is illumination. Light is wisdom. And your light shines. Bless you.